Welcome to Worst Year Ever, a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
I am become death, destroyer of debates, and also worlds.
Could you just destroy the world and then the debate will be
gone? Worst year ever. Look, Sophie, it's fine. This is how you introduce a podcast, all right? I'm the king of podcasts today, and I decide that we're talking about the debate.
I don't know if any of us voted on that.
I'm going to quote Vice President Biden. Shut up, man. Shut up, man.
Rebel against the king. I reject you.
You don't get to throw Vice President Joe Biden's words back at me because he wasn't as drunk as I am when he said them. So there.
You don't know that.
Yeah, that's a bold claim.
Yes, guys,
we have no idea.
We just finished, along with a lot of you guys, I'm assuming, watching the first presidential debate. And
Is that what that's called?
I don't know what that's called.
First, and I'm going to call it right now the most erotic presidential debate of 2020.
It was the most stunt I've ever been.
That is my prediction. My only prediction for the rest of 2020. Subsequent debates will not be this erotic.
Ooh, I don't know. I feel like they can only get sexier from here.
I see. This is where you and I disagree, Cody. This is the real left-wing split.
Wow.
Can the debates get sexier, or have they peaked in terms of...
I'm still undecided. We'll see.
Well, see, this is why we're a perfect microcosm of the American voting public.
Yeah, and a nice way to...
Also because Sophie's an auto worker. Sorry.
All right, we need to get this show on track and talk about the debate, which is why we are all here, right? It's late for me. I'm normally in bed. I'm also recording in my bedroom next to my bed, and it's so tempting. that was really hard to watch. And I want to start by asking...
Worse than what we did a few minutes ago.
Yeah, so I don't know why we're subjecting our friends and fans to more
chaos. Yeah.
And that's what it was. It was chaos. But we had a little bit... I think we all walked away with slightly different impressions, and mine was a bit darker. I felt like, what are we trying to reach here, our undecided voters? And to me, even though Biden did have some great points that we're going to get to and talk about the different things that were said tonight, I just kind of left feeling worried about how this plays, about how they can pick apart what was said, and just horrified that this was allowed to happen. Like, come on, Chris Wallace. I don't know. There have to be things that you can do to get that under control. Am I
right? Chris Wallace, I mean, for fuck's sake, man.
Straight up, just tell him to shut the fuck up.
Tell him to shut the fuck up. Mr. President,
I need you to shut the fuck up for one fucking second in your goddamn life.
He did say to shut up.
Or that was Biden, not Chris Wallace. He said shut up, man, yeah. It's an impossible job because of who was up there on stage and what he was clearly trying to do. But could have done a little bit better. Could have shown a little less respect for the guy on stage who deserves none of your respect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have liked a throne punch. The shut up man was good. I would have liked it if he just tried to cold cock him. I think that would have been, and especially if he'd cold cocked him while covering his mouth with his hand, that would have been a good move. That would have been a good move.
That's bold. That's alpha. Yeah, I mentioned earlier today, yeah. He didn't do this entirely. And part of it, I think, is just like the sharpness. Sharpness has gone down a little bit. Stop with the have you no decency stuff. And just like tell him to shut up, treat him like a bully, be a bully back. I just don't know if like anyone's like watching the debate undecided, like oh, which one's more reasonable? Which one isn't, like, it's,
right. I mean, you can't even understand half of the things that he was saying. I was disappointed right out of the gate. And he did have some great answers. Biden did have some great answers. I was disappointed right out of the gate with how he handled responding to Trump's on SCOTUS. Like,
me too.
Right in Trump's rambling answer, he said, well, I can guarantee you if it were the Democrats in this position, they would do it. That end of sentence, Biden's chance to talk, and he doesn't say the thing that he fucking obviously should say. And it just devolved from there for me. I was so frustrated. But over and over again, things like that, like, just, you know, say the thing, say it clear, state the fact here that
he
you
was
need to
too
state,
neutral.
State the obvious
and that's,
thing.
And well, and it's, I don't
and
even think it's
people
necessarily
were bored.
Neutral. It's, cause, and this happens like in all debates, like you're frustrated because they're not saying the thing that you want them to say. You're shouting at the TV like, no, say this. And that's bound to happen.
Sure.
But there were a lot of easy connections like that, that I think, unfortunately, comes down to, like, we nominated the oldest guy. He's not as sharp as he was even 4 years ago. And that's just true. Like, we don't need to get into, like, the nitty-gritty of it and stuff. But, like, it would have been nice to have somebody who's, like, 100%, like, ready for Trump and able to respond like that. Even when they talked about... nothing negative has happened at any of my rallies. Herman Cain fucking died. Mm-hmm. What? What?
I mean, absolutely.
Yeah. Why didn't he bring that up? It was like, your friend Herman Cain died because of
one
of
your rallies.
He took
a photo at your rally bragging about how he's not wearing a mask, and then he fucking died.
And
from
then
it.
He died. Now he's a fucking corpse. Like,
slam dunk. And it's like a lot of stuff like that where it's like, you could have said any number of things in direct response to what Trump is saying.
Yeah,
the,
over
the,
and over and
the
over
Garland
again,
thing was like very blatant, but it did happen over and over again. And I think it is like that. Probably he's getting a lot of different advice on like, don't do this, don't go in on this, or like, make sure you're polite or whatever. But part of it is, I think, that he's just not as sharp and doesn't have
that. Well, and that is an extremely stressful situation. I think that that's obviously a big part of his whole strategy. Trump's strategy going into this is to just bulldoze. And Biden gets flustered. He does.
Yeah.
Like, I think that he did a pretty good job considering that, but like, still, you're like, say the thing, say the obvious thing.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
That
like,
isn't
it makes
an,
you want, like,
a wild
the...
situation.
That was terrible.
Katie's right.
He was really bad in the Supreme Court stuff. He picked up later on the answers of his that I thought were really good. He gave very good answers on like the political violence stuff in large.
Agree.
He gave a moderately good answer on law enforcement. He gave a really good answer. He did a really what I thought whoever's coaching him when Trump brought up the suburbs and like the fact that he was going to destroy the suburbs when he pivoted to climate change. That was like that's actually a very very smart move. Like that's really fucking good. And I will say, having watched the debate in a room full of leftists, I think everybody appreciated the fact that he and was shocked by the fact that he didn't throw Antifa under the bus. Which I had expected.
He kind of did the opposite of that. Like he said the thing that people say.
Antifa
is an idea, not an organization. Something along those lines is what he said. Like, that's like, that's what you want someone to say, especially talking about how, like, well, I mean, even your FBI says that they're not an issue in the Proud. Like,
Speaking of the Proud Boys,
good.
That's too soon of a pivot.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get to that.
No,
we
can move to the Proud Boys later when I have, I have this scotch and I have this beer. And I'll probably have the beer the rest of the episode because I'm going slow on it. But when I finish the scotch, we can talk about the Proud Boys.
Well,
until then,
clear,
I do think we
to
should
be clear. I was meaning Trump saying to the Proud Boys specifically to stay back.
Yes.
To stand
down. Yes.
Mm.
Yes.
I'm
not. Give me a little bit more scotch and I'll be ready to talk about that. We should talk some more about the Supreme Court stuff because that was important and a complete shit show.
Yeah, man, like, obviously it was so frustrating to, like, all of the interruptions and every little tiny little baby boy thing that Trump tried to do the entire time. It's so unpleasant. He's the most unpleasant person I could imagine.
Unprofessional.
It was unbearable. It was so fucking unbearable. The Supreme Court stuff is really like frustrating to watch because it is that simple. Like, just say this.
So easy.
Like, yeah. I'm curious to your thinking on the matter, Katie, in particular. Like, what would you have considered a good response to that? Because I think we can all agree that, like, praising her is a bad response, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So there's that element,
that she's
but
free!
I'm actually meaning...
I'd love to vote for her!
Right out of the gate, the last thing that Trump said was, in his statement, was talking about how the Democrats would try to do the exact same thing. And right there in front of Biden is the appropriate response as to what happened the last time we were in an election year. And it wasn't even during an election.
The facts were on his side.
I mean, it's just right there. Mm-hmm. And that was so disappointing and so easy and could have been a sentence. And he missed that.
Yeah.
To me, but I see that all the time. Like him kind of like making his way to making a point. And you're kind of losing people when you've got this guy next to him just shouting things, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's what I've been referring to with regards to the SCOTUS answer.
Yeah, nobody does their best shouting next to standing next to a shouty asshole. At the same time, it was his job to rise above that, and he did it points.
Yeah, yeah,
but he was also,
in that answer. So,
you saw in that moment, you saw in a couple of moments, the bullied kid that Joe Biden was, and I think in that moment you saw the kid being cowed. And later on you saw like him kind of getting punchy and swinging back. But during those, when it was really important for him to get that one right.
Especially because a lot of people will have turned it off. A lot of people did not.
That's
watch the
what I keep
bait.
Coming back to. The first few minutes are really important.
First impressions.
Even people that I know, you know, understandably, probably people listening to this right now, turned it off pretty quickly.
Yes.
And
I
what
got
do
a
you think about
undecided?
Away, yeah. Undecided voters are really what we are aiming for here.
Are those still a thing, though? The question I guess we have when it comes to like how much this will matter, and we can't know yet, so we're all just kind of spitting in the wind at the moment.
Yeah.
Is were either of the performances enough one way or the other to have actually impacted the people who are undecided voters?
No, I don't know. That's what I think is that. But I think that inherently benefits Trump.
I think that, I mean, Biden's ahead, though. Like,
Biden's
I think
ahead,
at least in terms of I don't know.
No, but I think that's a really good point, and it's important to consider, because you're right. We don't really know how this sways things. It's all all just us hoping for the best, really.
Yeah.
But, I think that I've shared this with you guys off recording, but I've been doing, campaigning, phone banking, and I have talked to a lot of people who are undecided, or more than that, disillusioned and don't want to vote. So what I'm kind of looking for from Biden is reason for people to change their mind. And that's not what I get from tonight's performance. I think that there are people like Sophie mentioned, her family members who are watching and are like, you know what, this seals the deal. I'm sure that that does exist to some degree. But in general, I don't know, just the number of people who feel just frustrated with both choices is alarming to me.
Well, it's a bleak sort of thing watching that. Like, we can, like, obviously, and we talk all the time about, like, Trump's not the cause of the problems. He's a symptom and so on and so forth. What we saw today on stage was all Trump. Like, he did that. He did the thing. We got what we got, and it's very frustrating to see him sort of bring it all down and like pull back the curtain of like this is the America we have, And yeah, with Biden, like, it's very, very grim. I hope that Trump loses. I want him to lose really, really badly. I want him to cry and then shit himself to death on the toilet. Like, there's a plan for Trump, but like,
you want to Elvis the president. You
yeah,
would like
I
the
think,
president
I would like
to
get
Elvis
a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah. And
Secret Service, Cody Johnston's your man.
Hold all my calls from the Secret Service, please. But he's awful, and we know that, and I want him to lose. It is very grim and bleak that we spent 2 years looking for somebody to take on Donald Trump and to replace him and get him out of the Oval Office, and what we got is Joe fucking Biden. And that doesn't change the fact that I want him to lose. I want Trump to lose, but man, that like
this is democracy, Cody, and democracy means that your best case scenario is the leader who wants the fewest people dead wins the election.
What? And that's what we got. We're in this situation where it's like it is the fucking lesser of blah. It's all this, all the things.
I mean,
but man, it could have been fucking anyone. We spent 2 years and we're like, oh, the guy that we already tried for 8 years. We'll do that guy. And it's just really depressing.
I'm pretty sure you said we could have had anyone.
Anyone
with Hillary Clinton too.
Well, I think if Joe Biden ran in 2016, he probably would have won. Actually, but.
No, yeah, because a lot of it was misogyny.
Yeah, he's a man.
He also would have been
He's a man. He's a little. He would have been a little sharper. That would have done it. Which is also really fucking bleak and depressing. But like anyone,
there's not much that isn't bleak about and depressing.
Yeah. So I don't know. His Antifa answer was good.
Everything they said about any specific city was bad, which Philadelphia is already going off on Twitter
because
the president insulted Philadelphia.
Can we talk about some of the things he said? What were some of your favorites?
Yes. I liked when Chris Wallace said, actually, that we'd had 100 nights of violence, because I would have asked Chris Wallace, who did the violence, Chris?
Interesting.
Uh-huh,
who was responsible for most of that violence, Chris Wallace? I have footage. Like,
unreal.
I know who was responsible, and it wasn't Antifa.
It was
a bunch of fucking cops. They did throw a couple of Molotovs, but before that happened, they got beaten and had their heads shattered by rubber bullets and got thousands of random people tear gassed. Not that I am okay with Molotovs, because I actually hate them. I've had a few explode next to me. I don't enjoy it. But when you try to murder people with rubber bullets and grenades for weeks on end, they might try to light fires on you. They might do that. Doesn't make it okay.
It's
just what happens.
That's in the
and
cards.
Maybe
that's
you shouldn't repeatedly assault people if you don't want them to assault you back.
So that's actually something that I think that Joe Biden, of all people, he didn't do so bad when he talked, because like logically, when you talk about these sort of things and civil unrest, and like we can debate for days on like what he could have and Obama could have done better when they were in office, but
a lot of things.
But
he could have gotten that knife missile out onto the streets faster. We could have had a knife missile in every American's hand.
Exactly.
What if our mass shootings were committed by knife missiles? God damn it.
Thanks for nothing.
We could live
Obama.
In a better world.
But my point is that when Joe is talking about civil unrest, his answer, his approach to it was, well, when something like that happens, you get everybody together and you talk about it. The solution to civil unrest is not a boot that gets even heavier on their neck. It's to find out what are you protesting about? Let's figure this out. And whether or not you think Joe Biden's like, yeah, I'm going to do it. That's what you do. And that's what you say. You say that, well, we would actually address the concerns of the protesters instead of saying, well, we're going to send the National Guard.
I did enjoy that his response was, the National Guard isn't the answer. Talking is the answer. Sorry, Katie. I'm sorry.
No. I think we have to take a quick break.
You know what's a lot like a boot stomping your face for eternity?
Yes.
Capitalism. And you know what represents capitalism?
Is
the
it?
Products and services
yes!
that support this show.
Oh my God, that was beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Joe Biden inspired me.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together.
let's talk about Katie. You're amped to talk about Trump fuck ups. So let's move to that.
We're just jumping all over the place here, much like
I'm going to warn you all. I've gotten a second large glass of scotch before we talk about
the
Proud
Boys. Oh wow! I thought
he
was just moving on to his beer, but it's
no.
Scotch.
I wanna really amp this up.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm gonna be very drunk before I talk about the Proud Boys, like the Proud Boys were on Saturday when I watched them kick a black live streamer in the head.
You're just so good with these pivots.
God. Because he fell down after kicking him because he was so drunk. Anyway, sorry.
Jesus.
Unreal.
It's fucking here. Let's talk about some of the ridiculous things Trump said, because they're all on our mind. I don't know. One of the things that I loved was hated. I don't know Bo.
Yeah.
That. Do you actually think that he doesn't know that his son is dead? Or do you think that that was just him playing stupid?
I think he's just an idiot, right?
It felt real to me. That did not feel like Trump. Like, we've seen a lot
Which
of Trump
even
lying.
Worse.
It does. Yeah, it is even worse. Like, I'm not defending him, but like, I don't think he knew who Bo was, because I think he's unbriefable. He's impossible to prepare for things, and he is too much of a narcissist to think for a second about a person that he doesn't have any. Like, there's no political benefit in attacking Bo, because he's a dead war hero, so he doesn't exist to Donald Trump. Yeah. Like, that guy couldn't stick in his mind. That felt real to me.
I don't think he has in his mind that there is a good son.
Sure.
Joe Biden has two family members. One is his wife, and one is his son who did the cocaine Ukraine stuff. That's it.
Cocaine Ukraine.
Sophie, you mentioned this, I believe, in our text thread, but I was also really impressed by how Biden addressed his son's,
drug use.
That was really classy and important, because a lot of people in this country suffer from addictions or have loved ones who do, if not the vast majority.
That was probably his strongest moment to me. He said, my son, like a lot of people, you know, at home had a drug problem. He's overtaken it. He's fixed it. He's worked on it. And I'm proud of him. And I think that.
Yeah. That's a human response.
Not a retreat. He had a couple of those. In terms of the stuff that was good about Joe, it was the responses where I expected him to retreat where he didn't. Because he retreated
in
some areas where I hoped
he
wouldn't.
A lot of the time. That's what I think.
He didn't when it was the Supreme Court thing.
No.
Because Joe Biden isn't directly affected by Roe v. Wade, and so he didn't feel like it was worth defending. I'm baffled that he defended Antifa. Within the context of the Democratic Party, he defended Antifa. Which again baffles me. But I'm glad he took that chance. As a friend of mine who I will not name, because I'm worried about them being targeted by the government, even though I don't believe they've ever committed a crime, said.
What about the government's goons, Joe? The government's militia goons in the streets? What about them?
That was his statement. Joe Biden has successfully won my vote by convincing me he wants me to go to prison less than the president does. Mm-hmm.
He's not going to be like, you're an anarchist jurisdiction, because he doesn't conflate anything with the Dems are anarchy and they're also Antifa and anything. Yeah, he's not.
In terms of the stuff he did that was really good.
Yeah.
He had a couple of great pivots. One of them was, and I guess all of Antifa, it was a thank you to the FBI director for providing that quote.
Shout out to
the other one. What
FBI?
FBI.
Yeah, famed anarchist, the director of the FBI. So that was good, and I was surprised by it, because it speaks to a couple of things, right? If you're actually talking about what does this say about where we are in America right now, I don't think he went. I don't think that was off the cuff. I don't think you go. I don't think you, as Joe Biden, go into this debate without being prepped on, he's going to ask you about Antifa. He might ask you to disavow Antifa. Mm-hmm. What is your answer? And he was prepped with that quote from the FBI director, and he knew it by rote, which means that he'd practiced it, which means that there was a calculation made by the people prepping him, who presumably represent people who are at the highest level of the Democratic Party, a calculation made that it's actually a bad call to completely throw Antifa under the bus. You can't embrace them, but it is a bad call to just say, no, I think we should throw them all in prison too. Like, that was a bad decision. Mm-hmm. That would have been a bad call. And so they pushed him not to make that call. And that is one of the rare, not depressing things that's happened lately.
Yeah,
that was, I'll accept that.
That was wild because, like, it was definitely a calculation, and he had that prepared, and he was like, "Yeah, they're not an organization; they're an ideology, whatever." Mm-hmm. And it's interesting just knowing that, and then sort of contrasting it with some of his other calculations. Like Trump, I think very ineffectively would constantly go, "You just lost the left." Oh, you're gonna get all the Bernie stuff and like the you almost lost to him. That was like really, really pathetic of Trump, actually.
Yeah.
And as much as like sometimes
it was a bummer.
It was a bummer, and sometimes I'm like not agreeing with Trump, but like there's like irksome things that Biden said during the night.
Yeah.
It was like, oh man, that bothers me. And then Trump would be like, you're losing the left, and I'd be like, fuck you, Trump. Joe Biden, 2020.
Yeah, I'd be like, motherfucker. Like, and Sanders would have been
game.
Like,
fuck you,
like,
man.
What do you mean you? Yeah, and then gotten into a fit. So there's we've got a debate watchers poll out from CNN. This was just posted by Matt McDermott, who's a pollster with Vice President Whitman Insight Strategies, I guess. And this is, he's got a screen grab from CNN here. So this is their poll, which has a 6.3% margin of error. Who won the debate? Joe Biden, 60%, Donald Trump, 28%. Now that's CNN.
Wait, I would say
let's 68 to 28, Joe Biden.
Okay.
So I would say like their margin of error is 6.3. It's fucking CNN. So let's say it's 20%. Still a comfortable lead for Joe if this is even in like the vaguest ballpark of accurate. So that's not terrible.
I'm pretty sure Hillary Clinton won all the debates too.
Well, yeah.
Technically.
Yeah, no, that's a fair,
speaking of Hillary Clinton being in all the debates as well, it's very weird that Trump kept saying that Biden called black criminals super predators.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah,
which he didn't. And like Biden sucks on criminal, like all the stuff we've talked about the crime bill, but it's very funny that he was like super predators, and your husband Bill or like whatever, like he didn't get to that far, but it was very clear he's like confusing the whole thing. Also, does Joe Biden hate law and order, or did he write the disastrous crime bill?
Pick one, like, bro.
Hard to say.
What are we doing?
Yeah,
those are good.
It's very inconsistent, and I guess that's part of why I'm so surprised Joe didn't pivot harder on the law and order, that he did state that like there's police officers who need to be in fucking prison. There need to be dialogues and civil rights leaders need to be a part of them. And like, that's not what I believe, but he also didn't say he thought defunding the police was always the wrong decision. He did embrace that in certain circumstances, which is not, again, it's not where I am, but I didn't expect Joe Biden to throw anything towards that. And it's not so much that like it's an act of courage or we should praise him for it. We should be reading what the Democratic Party is seeing in the decisions Joe Biden is making.
Right. Yeah.
And one of the decisions they're clearly making is that you can't throw Antifa under the bus completely. You can't give it all to the cops completely. And we'll talk about this, I guess, very soon. You can't throw the Green New Deal under the bus, because while he like his statement about not coming up with it was, I don't know, we'll talk about that in a second. He specifically stated that it paid for itself. Like, he felt that it was important politically to defend it to that extent, even though he's not committing to it.
Yeah.
Which is noteworthy. That's something to pay attention to if you actually care about maybe like where the party's getting pulled, if you believe parties can be pulled and you're not just a bomb thrower, then that's an important thing to pay attention
that's
to.
Good.
Sure.
It was a bummer because he did. It felt like you threw the Green New Deal under the bus in a way, in the same way he rejects a lot of like the socialized medicine, the Bernie Sanders comments, all that, like his
which was all very frustrating.
And his Green New Deal comment, like some of it was like, man, just people like the New Deal.
He
just
said, I'm not supporting, I don't support the Green New Deal.
Right.
I support the Biden plan.
That kind of stuff is very frustrating, especially having like months of conversations with people who are like, actually, Biden loves the Green New Deal. It's in his plans. Like, no, he doesn't. Stop saying that. Stop lying for him. We can be honest and say it's better than X or Y, but the lying form is very frustrating. But you're right that that is an element where like, It squashes the argument of like, if we're going to do something for the environment, if we're going to do anything resembling the Green New Deal, it pays for itself because it intrinsically creates jobs.
Which should be a conservative thing, you know, creating jobs and getting people work and all
and
of that.
Conserving the environment.
And it was when famous leftist president Richard Nixon created the EPA.
Unbelievable.
No, I just want to know what you guys think about some of them. The mail-in ballot voter stuff, because that is what really scares me right now.
I wasn't expecting them to do this, but the entire time, I'm like, cut his mic. What are you doing?
Cut his microphone.
Stop airing this stuff. Every single network is going to air Donald Trump's victory speech on election night. They will air it uninterrupted. They will go to his podium. They'll show his podium live for 20 fucking minutes and it'll be empty. He'll go out and he'll declare victory and they'll come back to them after he does it and they'll be like, wow, why is he allowed to do that? Like they're just going to do the same fucking thing. It's so maddening.
Yeah.
Sorry, Katie. Go
but
ahead.
Also, I mean, yeah, that for
it's
sure.
Not good.
Katie, you were saying, I couldn't hear you.
Well, I was just, I mean, that element of it was, yes, all of that's very scary and frustrating, but also just his messaging. Of course, it's the stuff that he's been saying all along, but I just gasped when talking about ballots and fraud and all of that. And just the shit he's saying. What was he even saying? People can buy their ballots from the postman? Does he think that mailmen are selling people their mail? He's saying that you're finding ballots in creeks? In creeks?
It's not funny.
If you transcribed that, hopped into a time machine, jumped back to 1992 and got back into, what would that have been, Cody? Season 3 of The Simpsons? And gave that to The Simpsons showrunners for the voice actor who does Abe Simpson's voice to read. It would have matched perfectly. Like his whole rant upon, they're finding Trump ballots in the streams.
Oh, they had my last
he
name.
Said it
was
twice.
A real
Castellano would have nailed
tied
it.
An onion to my belt moment.
What was that at all?
It was the style at the times, Katie.
Angry man shouts at cloud.
I was yelling at the TV at this point, but my mom called me afterwards, who is a moderate Democrat. But she said, did Trump say that he wants people to watch us while we vote to make sure that we're
he did
doing
say
it?
That.
He did
yeah,
say
he
that.
Sure, he sure did, there. Sophie's
back,
mom.
Back then,
what the fuck kind of creepy shit is that? That's, no.
Because back then, Nichols had pictures of bees on them. Give me 5 bees for a quarter.
Well, give me 5 bees for a quarter, you'd say. And then you put it in your pocket next to the onion that you had tied to your belt, which was the style at the time.
The style at the time. Completely wild.
We can talk about that moment now.
It's
then.
Proud Boy time, I guess.
You know what? We're going to talk about that moment when we get back from this commercial break. Mm-hmm.
You know what won't give you 5 bees for a quarter?
Yes.
These products and services.
We're going to talk about that moment some more. The one where he urged his supporters to go to the polls and watch.
That was a good moment.
I think this needs a lot of context, actually.
Do you? Give it.
Well,
lay it out.
It doesn't need context, but it could use some context. So,
all right, let me start with the context. So the way that a rifle works is you have these cartridges that are usually brass with a metal slug, and then you hit a primer that detonates and ignites the gunpowder, propelling the bullet out of the barrel, which spins the bullet for greater accuracy so that it goes into the head of a dissident. And that's more or less what Donald Trump was going for there.
Thank
Sorry,
you for
Cody.
That
I didn't mean to
no,
cut you
no,
off.
No, that was a good paraphrase.
Really helpful.
I would have spent 20 minutes on that. But I think you nailed it. Yeah, man, wild stuff. So I don't know. We've talked about this before in other podcasts about actually on the day after we did our QAnon episode, we talked about QAnon, a little recap of QAnon. The day after that is when the president was asked on camera if he could have denounced QAnon, and he said, "They love me." You know, what's wrong with that?
Yeah. This is 100% what fairness, I was thinking at that moment, too.
Yeah.
And so, in the wake of that, a few days later, and we don't need to, pile on or whatever. Like, a lot of people seem to think it's a great idea to keep pushing Trump on this, even though maybe it's a terrible idea to let the president, or even have anybody, maybe don't broadcast QAnon to the entire nation, because you know what they're going to Google? QAnon. Yeah. And you know how many people are going to get into it from that?
Yeah.
More than we want, which is...
Do you guys remember when we had President George W. Bush, who invaded two countries and led directly to the deaths of hundreds of thousands of innocent people?
Yes.
That's a weird way to say democracy, violence but against, all right.
Huh?
I mean...
I don't know. Just like the fact that he was willing to... even vaguely talk down his supporters at one point when they got too racist.
Yeah.
I'm not at the point yet. I'm still not at the point where I'm willing to say that Trump is a worse president than George W. Bush. What I will say is that Trump is a worse president than George W. Bush when it comes to inciting violence within the United States.
Yes.
Which, again, is not the whole picture, because George W. Bush invaded two countries. fuck the guy.
There's a broad picture.
But
he's not doing what the president's doing currently.
Well,
people have been suggesting Jed Legum, Lugum, during the debate, Biden should legume during the debate, Biden should challenge Trump to denounce QAnon. Terrible idea. Don't do that. I'm so glad they didn't. They're probably going to do it in debate number two or three. If you're listening to this, Joe Biden, don't fucking do that. Also, Medicare for all.
Debate number three is just going to be Trump and Biden arguing about whether or not JFK Jr. is alive. Still.
Utterly embarrassing.
Which is a crucial part of QAnon, if you're not
right. And Trump will be like, no, of course not, because his father was killed by Bernie Sanders. And then Joe Biden will be like, actually, he was killed by Ted Cruz's dad.
But you brought up QAnon.
So,
and
yes,
tying it back to what Trump was saying up there.
Yes. In the context of this, asking Trump to denounce anybody is a terrible idea, because what he's going to do is embolden those people. That's what he's going to do. Ultimately, don't ask him to denounce anybody. Stop it.
Because now we're going to have another one of these stupid fucking rallies where I live and we just barely made it.
Well,
out of the last
Someone asked him. He literally asked him to denounce the Proud Boys.
He couldn't do it.
Stand down and stand by.
Well, so what they started with was white supremacists, which
and
was
he
interesting.
Went, and
like,
he went,
white supremacists.
And he went,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And the right wing militia groups, they said. And then they were like, we'll be specific and like, name one. Because President Trump couldn't possibly name one. They said Proud Boys. And his response was that they should stand back and stand by, not stand down.
That's right.
And
I have seen
a lot of people, a lot of fucking like Heritage Center weirdos and like a lot of like people in the conservative media being like, well, he said stand down. No.
He said
back and then by. He never said down. And so that's fucked up, first of all. So he said,
no, and that's sure not how it's being like. We're watching the Proud Boys right
back.
Now. I can see them.
The first
response by Joe Biggs, former InfoWars co-host and famous Proud Boy, who I was within a few feet of last weekend. Joe Biggs said, let me pull up this exact quote for you. So I'm being very fair to Joe Biggs. Trump basically said to go fuck them up. This makes me so happy.
Had
256 likes, upvotes at the time.
That
Enrico Tarrio, Enrique Tarrio, head of the Proud Boys, said, "Standing by, sir." So they're very ready.
Of course they are.
Well,
they...
So interesting. Yeah, sorry. Go ahead. Okay.
No. Go ahead.
Enrique, it's interesting how it's being framed, because his response to telling the Proud Boys, he told Proud Boys to stand by. I'm extremely proud of my guys right now. A small group of men who aren't afraid of the mob have accomplished so much. We have always stood back and stood by America, and we will continue to do so.
Yeah.
Their
now, let me put my finger on why that's wrong, Cody. I can't put my finger on it because they broke it with a baton because I was standing near them with a camera and they wanted to hit me. And then they assaulted me several more times with a shield. Sorry.
I
was
going to
put my finger on it, but all the violence.
This is voter suppression.
Yes.
It's telling also, I mean, it's inciting violence, but what it's also doing is, and when I was doing campaigning for the midterm elections, I think it was, it was for the special, Doug Jones special Senate release. I don't know. And I called some woman and she said, is he really going to be better? Is it worth risking my life to go out there? She was a black woman. You know, I'm scared right now for my husband to go to the grocery store. Is it worth it for me to go show up for this person? So that's the first thing that I thought about was that conversation.
That's rough.
Yeah.
That's something that we
that's fucked up as hell.
We don't think about, you know?
That's awful. Completely depressing.
I mean,
and that's what he's doing. Cause not like he said, when he said stand back and stand by, not stand down. Stop saying that, you liars. Anyway, after he said he followed it up by saying, stand back and stand by, but something needs to be done about Antifa. So not only did he say, stop, in quotes, but he followed, like, the end of his sentence was, but something needs to happen. We need to do something about them. And it is so baffling and frustrating that there was no follow-up at all. And then 20 minutes later, after telling the Proud Boys to stand back and stand by, 20 minutes later, he said, my people, quote, my people need to go to the polls and watch.
Yep.
Those are
no, that was
very
an
related
to election.
Alarmingly
election
related.
Sure.
He's being
it's a criminal act.
He's a thug. And they're just letting him say that stuff on stage. No one has learned anything. It's wild.
I don't want to say no one's learned anything because there are some signs early, and it is very early, right? So I don't want to be making like comprehensive signs. There are some early signs that some people who previously were part of the problem might be part of the solution. One of those people is Joe Biden, so I posted, you know, the comments that you were just quoting, some of them at least, from Enrique and from Joe Biggs, like the comment I quoted from Joe Biggs. I posted them. The guy who beat me to them was Mike Baker, who's a local Portland reporter, but who is a reporter, a correspondent for the New York Times. And he's a pretty good journalist. I respect Mike quite a bit. And he posted a screen grab of those same conversations, which Joe Biden tweeted. Joe Biden quote tweeted.
Really?
Joe Biggs saying, go fuck
tonight?
Them up.
Just now?
And said this. Yeah, just now. 53 minutes ago.
Wow.
This is Donald Trump's America. In addition to that, I am reading right now from someone who I don't know, I think is reasonably reliable, somebody that I've seen not be wrong in the future, that I don't think would be lying about this, that Jake Trapper called the Proud Boys a neo-fascist group. So
that's a word.
What
that
I will
not
say, I'm not glad that the Proud Boys got any kind of, because they we'll talk a little bit about this last week, and they got it was very embarrassing for them. I'm not proud that they got anything to get excited about, but the fact that a lot of previously kind of centrist and milquetoast folks might start to come out against them now, and because they've been sort of made into a lightning rod, and the fact that they'll be probably a part of election interference has been very highlighted. That's not necessarily a bad thing if people stay consistent in this. And we'll see, because it might lead to a bunch of people like Jake Tapper going and talking to the Proud Boys and getting charmed by them because they're dumb as shit. Because Jake Tapper's
he's
a very
like
dumb person.
Tapper's done like the both sides stuff with Antifa and like a lot of the really like botch the Andy No story and stuff like that.
Matt Visor, who is a national political reporter at the Washington Post and not someone I think would tweet bullshit. I haven't gotten a chance to watch all of CNN's coverage, but Matt Visor says that on CNN, Jake Tapper said, that was a hot mess inside a dumpster fire, inside a train wreck. The American people lost tonight because that was horrific. And then Dana Bash added, that was a shit show. So,
yes,
I don't know. Maybe people are learning finally at the 11th fucking hour, because they should be terrified. I wrote an article for Bellingcat recently about the fucking militia networks that are setting up in the Pacific Northwest and talking about, like, assassinating our governor and killing leftists and forming death squads. Like, they're working on it right now. You ought to be scared. You ought to be taking deliberate, concerted action to deal with your fear, and as opposed to just being scared. I am not certain. Time will tell whether or not it's a bad thing. Like, obviously, the fact that the president is directly signaling to these people is bad.
Yes.
It is. Time will tell whether or not it's a bad thing that they got brought up, because it might lead to people galvanizing against the motherfucking Proud Boys, who are a threat, as opposed to Antifa, who light trash cans on fire in front of police stations mostly.
I think that's a really good point.
Because they want people to have health care.
And Robert referenced a minute ago something that Joe Biden retweeted and mentioned. And I just want to point out that, do you want to know what Trump is mentioning? He's posting a photo of him versus Wallace and Biden on his Twitter. That's what he's doing right now. He's posting about how he'd like Joe Rogan to do the debate as a moderator. That those are the two things he's posted since the debate.
Also, 7 hours ago, he emailed everybody, "I finished debating Joe Biden. This debate will go down in history. I showed the American people. I will all like it's like it's they're fucking falling apart. It's nonsense.
It's a bummer. You know who I fucking want to moderate one of these debates? Who I actually would like to see? Because I don't actually disagree that Rogan would be he'd be better than most presidential debate moderators have been in our lifetimes. Not that I particularly want to see him do it, because he's not competent
for
the job. He'd be better
than Wallace.
They're just all terrible.
My God.
Yeah, he'd be better than Wallace was. I want to see Shepard Smith. Shepard Smith.
Yeah.
Lot of critiques to make about the man that are valid. Shepard Smith has more of a record than probably any other network TV host of directly standing in front of Republican elected officials and spokespeople and questioning them.
Yeah.
He's pretty good at this within the context of a job that I don't think is a good job that anyone should do. He's more responsible with it than anyone else. And I think he'd be a good debate moderator.
Do you think that cutting his mic even is an option? Won't they
That would be amazing.
But
if he got fucking muted?
It needs to be from now on.
But
and
people
this is something...
would be outraged by him being... silence,
well, those are
know.
The fucking rules that everybody decided on and agreed to. And that's the thing. People have talked about this. Like, every debate that happens, people talk about this. Every primary debate, people talk about it. Like, cut their mics. They're just arguing. It's nonsense. This is hell. We're watching hell right now. And actually being able to be like, this not your
time. Because it's a nightmare watching these people.
It's awful. Unbearable. Every moment of tonight was just like, God.
You couldn't hear either one of them for most of the debate.
And like we're doing a great job
of
recreating that for our audience. Like this we're expressing our distaste for the night by recreating it for you. But my God, just like cut their mics. I'm talking about us.
Do we want to end with an update on Portland, or are you guys toast?
No, I can talk a little bit about Portland. So I didn't sleep for the first 3 days of last week because I was work, or at least I didn't sleep really, because I received some leaked chats from an anti-fascist collective called Eugene Antifa, they had infiltrated and gained access to a group called the Patriot Coalition, which is a far-right insurgent movement in the Pacific Northwest that has direct contact with and is affiliated with the Proud Boys, another group called American Wolf, and with Patriot Prayer, who are both more local. In those chats, as we outlined in an article for The Guardian that I wrote with Jason Wilson and for Bellingcat that I also wrote with Jason, they outlined plans to carry out night raids on anti-fascist protests, murdering people, their plans to attack ACLU observers and National Lawyers Guild legal observers, their plans to kill people they decided were Antifa during the fires and throw their corpses into the fires, and their plans to kill the mayor of Portland and the governor of Oregon, or at least their desire to do so would be more accurate to say. So we published this article, and it had a pretty big influence. And very soon after, the governor declared a state of emergency and announced that they would be pursuing paramilitary charges against the Proud Boys if there were assaults committed during the rally that occurred on the 26th that everybody was very worried about. And as a result, the police actually showed up and policed the Proud Boys. They cited a number of them. Criminally, they took some of their guns, they took a number of other weapons, they confiscated their shields. Now, obviously, they were much more brutal to anti-fascist protesters later that night and to journalists later that night, and the Proud Boys assaulted journalists the same day, but they faced some consequences, and there was no massive gunfight between Antifa and Proud Boys as people were worried about. And there's a number of things that story says to me. One of them is that, there's a small amount of credit that Jason and I can take. The lion's share of the credit goes to this anti-fascist collective. For the credit for getting that story out that kind of started the ball whirling on the government after 4 years taking this seriously, it goes to local members of the community who worked together in a collective to highlight this problem and publicize it. And it's kind of an endorsement of at least one of the tactics. You know, anti-fascists engage in a number of tactics, a number of which are critiquable, that I don't know are super effective. But the bulk of what they do is this kind of stuff. It's infiltration and research. It's revealing what these people are saying and planning. And more than anything, the work that they did and the reaction that it received in the local government and the impact that had on this city in reducing violence is an endorsement of a lot of the tactics that they've engaged in. Now, there were a lot of other things that were involved in the success this weekend. A number of different activist groups planned rallies, the smallest of which was still larger than the Proud Boy rally. There were a lot of different kind of safety teams that came together, people who worked together to make to ensure that the Proud Boys were outnumbered on the streets by counter protesters and to ensure that things did not proceed to a direct armed confrontation. So a ton of people, all of whom like deserve a lot of credit, were responsible for this not being a horrific shit show. And I don't want to forget that, but I think it's important as these groups are like sort of increasingly, these kind of anti-fascist groups are increasingly demonized, to note they revealed to the governor of Oregon that people were talking about murdering her behind her back. Right. There was a police response to the Proud Boys because of the work that these people, and this is dangerous work. The person, at least, who infiltrated that group took a lot of risk on themselves that has not been dissipated. They will be at right. risk for the, yep. the foreseeable future. And I think with all of this fucking talk about Antifa, most of which revolves around people lighting random shit on fire or throwing fireworks or the very occasional Molotov, what most of them are actually doing is risking their lives to bring people information that makes their communities safer. Yeah, and
that's what nobody's saying except for people yeah. like you or, you know, in the movement a bit more, but nobody's doing the important job of saying like, actually look at what this is. They're not trying to debunk the narrative.
Yeah. No, they're and I talk about this, you know, I've among some people controversially gone and lectured to counterterrorism classes at American universities, sometimes alongside members of federal law enforcement agencies. And I will tell them, listen to these people. They know what they're saying. And the body count is very one sided. Right. Like, one group is committing all the murders here. You've got one fucking shooting you can pin on Antifa, and there's a really fucking good chance it was a legitimate self-defense shoot. If you're talking about the shooting of Jay Danielson, which came up yeah. in this debate. Not that I'm willing to go to bat on one side of that or the other, because I haven't seen, like, all of the footage isn't available. It's uncertain as to whether or not it was a justified shoot. I wouldn't call it an act of terrorism. We certainly haven't seen that kind of evidence. Whereas there's 300-something murders by white supremacists in the last few years. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Thank you, Eugene Antifa, for looking out for other people in your state. And I don't know. Fuck Donald Trump, because he's a dick.
Yep. That seems like a great way to end this episode. Also, that's yeah. horrifying, what you've...
Also, Vice was wrong because they claimed in their article that was making fun of the Proud Boys for having a disappointing show up that 1,000 Proud Boys show up. We have overshots. There were like fucking 300 of those sons of bitches at the most. And they kicked a dude in the head for no reason. So fuck them. Fuck the Proud Boys. Fuck the president.
Fuck Donald Trump.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Fuck
dethrone
Donald
God
Trump.
And embrace Satan. Sorry.
You know,
what was that?
I said that out loud today. I just had
dethrone
this, like,
God,
all
embrace
God
Satan.
And embrace yeah.
No, I screamed, fuck Donald Trump. And I was like, I don't know if I've ever actually said that sentence before. Mm-hmm. And it's what I think every day. And it felt so good to just say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, fuck him. It's something that in regards to I see a lot of
he's
discourse
a real
online. He fucking
fucker.
Sucks so bad.
Ass.
Everyone's
penis.
Really worried about like, are we gonna get, like, we're gonna vote him out? Like, you're criticizing Joe Biden, but are you gonna vote for him and like all the Trump stuff? I really think that a lot of that is going to dissipate as we get closer and closer to the election because Trump fucking sucks. Everybody hates him. He's the most hateable man in America.
He's a real piece of shit. He sucks so much.
He sucks so fucking bad. Like, it's so easy to hate him and want him to lose. You don't even have to like Joe Biden. You can love the idea of him losing. Fuck him so hard.
And of course, our authoritarian looks and talks like him. Like...
Yeah,
all
no,
the
it's scams.
Fucking embarrassing.
Yeah, he's the most American fascist
cheap,
we could possibly imagine.
Trashy piece of shit authoritarian we could possibly choose.
If you had to guess in the 80s what a fascist American villain would be, it would be Donald Trump.
It would
and
be.
And we can prove that
Which
because
the,
we made a bunch of fucking movies in
the
80s
the future
about
movie did?
That.
Yeah. Yeah.
All of
the
them.
The Zemeckis brothers got this.
This
Time Cop
episode
did it.
Has got to end.
I swear to God.
You know what
right.
else has to end, Katie? These deals from our sponsors at Raytheon, who, let me tell you, Katie. Katie, you were telling me the other day, I've got to go to a wedding in Afghanistan, and I don't know how to murder everyone who plans to attend.
Oh.
What about a Hellfire missile?
That's what he said
and
to me.
And I know
me.
you're saying, I'm allergic to traditional explosives. Well, not hexogen, Katie. You're not allergic to hexogen, so let's bring a hexogen missile in and let it blow up a bunch of people in Afghanistan at that wedding. Thank you, Raytheon.
Okay.
Give me a promo code, and I'll be on board. Yeah. What's your promo code?
Promo code, no marriages.
Oh, God.
In Raytheon's ideal future, nobody gets married. Everyone gets a missile.
Yeah, this is the future that liberals want.
Yeah.
Check us out online at Worst Year.
Beautiful dream.
Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Worst Year Pod. Follow Katie at Katie Stoll. Follow Cody at Dr. Mr. Cody. Follow Robert at I Write OK.
Everything's so dumb. Everything's so dumb and it's gonna get dumber.
Great.
I tried.
Yes.
Daniel?
Lovely.
Worst Year Ever is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.